coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Love Letters, a Bible study on the epistles with Pastor Arno Bessel of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon.
Welcome to the series of Bible studies on the second letter of the Apostle Paul to Timothy. Weather forecasts are increasingly important. Organizations and individuals want to know what plans they can make for the coming days or what precautions they need to take so far as traveling, events, or activities are concerned. Is there any forecast what the future holds for us in this world? The Apostle Paul gives the answer in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unpeaceable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. Paul speaks about the last days. What does he mean? He means the days between Christ's ascension into heaven and his coming on the end of times. This is the Messianic era. So the last days in this text does not refer only to the period just prior to Christ's return, but to the whole era after Jesus was taken up into heaven. Consequently, we are living in the last days. These days are described by the Apostle as times of difficulties. Remaining in and living out the Christian faith has never been easy. The proclamation of the gospel has never been trouble-free. The mission Christ gave to the church has always been challenging. Evil forces have always and will continue to work against anything that is related to Jesus Christ, his followers, and his church. But Paul is not only speaking about times of difficulty for Christians. He speaks in general terms of times of difficulty in society, in politics, in the economy, in education, in safety, and so on. The last days are characterized by people who are lovers of self. More and more people are eager to defend their own interests, their own well-being, their own territory. Others? Well, others shall find their way of meeting their needs. Selfishness. Can you notice it around yourself? The last days are characterized by people who are lovers of money. Although money is very much required to supply the basic needs of people, the tendency is to be hungry for much more money than is needed. Greed is the force that drives people to exploit others, to pay unfair salaries, to make use of unfair business, and the like. Can you notice it around yourself? The last days are characterized by people who are proud, arrogant. Self-greatness diminishes others. By people who are abusive in language and actions. Children who are disobedient to their parents. This is so frequently observed in our days. The advice and guidance of parents are rejected, and in many cases disaster follows in the lives of children. The last days are characterized by people who are ungrateful. Murmuring and complaining prevail. By people who are unholy, heartless, that is, callous, cruel. People who are unpeaceable, which means they have wrathful anger and demand punishment rather than showing mercy. The last days are characterized by people who are slanderous, that is, they insult and defame others. Sadly, social media is widely used to spread slander. The last days are characterized by people who are without self-control, brutal, not loving good. The last days are characterized by people who are treacherous, that is, unfaithful, deceitful in family relationships as well as society in general. The last days are characterized by people who are reckless, that is, irresponsible, by people who are swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. The pursuit of pleasure at all costs and by all means is one of the forces very much active in our days. Love of pleasure replaces love of God. Self-indulgence and entertainment become idols. This is a very depressing picture of humanity, isn't it? It portrays the unbelieving world. And to be fair, we have to admit and confess that Christians are also trapped in these sins. The Apostle Paul recommends Timothy to avoid people with these characteristics. Why? Because of the temptation and the danger to be influenced and to fall into the same sins they commit. Paul goes on writing in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 6 to 9. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth, men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. Paul takes into consideration a particular situation in those days. He refers to false teachers who took advantage of vulnerable women to deceive them. While the husbands were away, religious charlatans would visit homes to persuade the women to accept their false teaching. Religious quackery was widely received by women in the Roman Empire during the time of the Apostle Paul. The victims of false teachers are described as weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. They were unstable and guilt-ridden because of their sins. They failed to learn the truth of the gospel, and consequently, they were led astray by false teachers. Paul mentions an example from the Old Testament when two men, Jannes and Jambres, opposed Moses. Neither of the names is mentioned in the Old Testament, but according to Jewish tradition, these were the Egyptian court magicians who opposed Moses when he came to ask Pharaoh to release Israel from slavery. In similar fashion, false teachers in Paul's days opposed the truth. Men who are corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. Nowadays, false teachers continue to take advantage of vulnerable people. Christians who have little knowledge of Scripture or whose faith is unstable. Christians who are experiencing difficult times in their lives because of losses, disaster, illness, and the like, are an easy prey for religious charlatans. They play a deceiving game with the shaken emotional conditions of people, aiming to lure them over to their side. Religious charlatans exploit the physical and material needs of people, making deceiving promises of prosperity. These factors explain the massive growth of certain religious movements, which really are not churches, but companies created to enrich their leaders at the cost of vulnerable people. Very sad. The lesson for us is to study the Scriptures under the faithful guidance of pastors and teachers, so that Christian knowledge and faith are deeply rooted in the firm foundation, Jesus Christ. This will help us to oppose false teachers, and we will be able to help fellow believers. In the sequence of his letter, Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 to 13. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and suffering, at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Paul commends Timothy for his behavior. He had listened and followed Paul's advice given earlier. Paul had set the example in which Timothy mirrored himself. Paul is certainly an extraordinary example as a minister of Christ, not because of his personal virtues or for what he achieved by his merits, but for what Christ made of him and worked through him. He is an example of a great teacher till this day, for he continues to teach through the letters he wrote to churches and to individuals. Paul is a great example in his conduct. He had his weaknesses, and he was not ashamed of confessing them, saying, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Paul is an example of a man who had a clear aim in life, to be a servant of Jesus Christ, an apostle, an instrument through which the good news of salvation reached many people. Paul is an example in his faith, which he confessed in extremely adverse circumstances. Paul is an example of patience, particularly when dealing with opponents to the gospel he preached. Paul is an example of love of God and people, so much so that he risked his life in order to bring the love of God to many sinners. Paul is an example of steadfastness, for he faced situations which strongly suggested to him to give up his job. Paul is an example in the persecutions and sufferings he endured. By persecutions are not only meant physical beatings, but also mockery and exclusion. In the book of Acts, chapter 13 and 14, some of Paul's persecutions and sufferings are described. However, Paul does not complain. Rather, he gladly confesses that the Lord rescued him from all the afflictions. The Lord's repeated deliverance of Paul should encourage Timothy in face of persecution by those at Ephesus who oppose the gospel. Let us take Paul as an example for us. By the way, Paul makes it crystal clear that the path on which Christians walk in this world is not paved with roses. On the contrary, the apostle states, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. If you hear preachers promising a life free of trouble, a state of glory, beware, they are lying. Faithful believers must expect persecution and suffering at the hands of opponents. In Acts chapter 14, verse 22, it is said, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Jesus summons his followers to take up their cross and follow him. Equally, and for our comfort, Jesus promises to be with us all the time and assures us that no one can snatch us out of his hand. Paul gives encouragement to Timothy. He writes in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. While Timothy served as a pastor in Ephesus, he faced adverse circumstances, including persecution. He needed support and strength to carry on in the pastoral ministry. Therefore, Paul encourages him, saying, "Continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings." Timothy was blessed since his childhood, for his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois taught him the Old Testament scriptures. Timothy was especially indebted to these two women, who faithfully taught him in the faith since early childhood. Timothy firmly believed in the scriptures, which included the promise of God to send the Messiah. Later, Timothy got to know that the Messiah came into the world to seek and save sinners. Timothy believed in Jesus Christ. Paul heartens Timothy to continue to learn the scriptures and to remain firm in the faith. Timothy's family sets a beautiful example to families today. Parents are in charge not only of the physical and material well-being of their children, but more importantly, they have the duty to take their children to holy baptism soon after their birth and to provide Christian teaching to them at home and in church. Time, effort, and resources invested in Christian education always pay off. There are many benefits in teaching the scriptures to children and people of all ages. The Apostle Paul declares that the Scriptures are able to make people wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. How does this happen? The Holy Spirit creates and maintains faith in Jesus Christ through the Word of God. Whoever believes in Jesus is also saved from sin, devil, hell, and death. By faith in Jesus, life eternal in heaven is given to the believer. Finally, the Apostle Paul makes some vital statements, saying, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work." All Scripture means both Old and New Testament. The books contained in the Bible have been written by human beings. However, God used those people as His instruments to write what He wanted to be written and the way He wanted the message to be expressed. God's Holy Spirit was actively involved in the writing of Scripture, an involvement so powerful and pervasive that what is written is the infallible and authoritative Word of God. All Scripture is breathed out by God. Sometimes God told the Bible writers the exact words to say, but more often He used their minds, vocabularies, and experiences to produce His own perfect, infallible, inerrant Word. What are the purposes of the inspired Scriptures? One of the purposes why Scriptures have been written is to teach us. When the Scriptures are read and reflected on, God gives us knowledge of Himself. They teach the comprehensive body of divine truth necessary for this life on earth and for the life. The second purpose why Scriptures have been written is to reprove us. God's Word uncovers our sins and calls us to repentance. The third purpose why Scriptures have been written is to correct us, or point the right way to go. The fourth purpose why scriptures have been written is to train us in righteousness. Through His Word, God grants us by faith the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We are made righteous. Once we are made righteous, we are trained, disciplined, and instructed to live out righteous behavior. This applies to every Christian, but especially to pastors, so that they may be competent, equipped for every good work. Holy Scriptures are a divine treasure indeed. Reading them, meditating on them, teaching them to others, that is our task and the task of the Christian Church. Thank you for reflecting with us today. Please join us again next time.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.